before I do this bit. It's fresh in my mind, as it should be fresh in yours. I've got a link on the website to what I call Campus Carry. And people have asked me ever since it's become part of our consciousness and in our lexicon, you work at college, what do you think about Campus Carry? My answer is, what I think makes no difference to me or you at all. I don't really know enough about it, but I do know who knows a lot about it. And there's a link on the website that's called Campus Carry, and when you push on that link, you get a short biography of and a letter he wrote to Greg Abbott in 2015. The man in question's name is William McCraven. He is now Chancellor Emeritus. He just retired as Chancellor at the University of Texas. Who knows the name William McCraven? Anybody? Recently retired Chancellor of the University of Texas. He only held that job for 2 or 3 years. Before that, at the start of his career, William McCraven was a Navy SEAL. And as he worked his way up through the ranks in the United States Navy, he became Admiral William McCraven, eventually Commander of United States Special Forces. He was on the ground in Afghanistan in contact with the Situation Room with President Obama, directing the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Then when he retired from the military, retired Admiral McCraven, became Chancellor of the University of Texas. He's a money machine. This guy can raise money, and that's what chancellors do. If Admiral McCraven asks you for $100, you give him $200, right? William McCraven wrote a letter to Greg Abbott saying, I'm against Campus Carry. I cannot think of anyone on earth who knows more about violence and context of violence than this guy. If he's against it, I'm against it. And you can read his letter and find out why. And that aside, and I was going to tell you more about that, but in light of yesterday, I was working on this right before class. I have a set of facts, and that's all these are. These are facts that are undisputed. And I invite you to simply absorb them at your leisure, and you decide how this advances or pulls back the world you want your children to inherit. This is just a list of facts. Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It says two things. A well-regulated militia, and people can keep guns. Good idea. We have a pretty well-regulated militia now, 240 or so years later. $600 billion a year regulate our militia today. That's the Defense Department's budget. It's roughly 57% of discretionary spending. That's not including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So over half of what we control in our spending goes to the military. We have a very well-regulated militia, a very well-funded militia. That's different than it was in 1791. Times have changed since 1791. Women can vote. Slaves are free. The colonial army at that time was essentially akin to a volunteer fire department, and they kept weapons in their homes. The most powerful handheld military and civilian weapon in 1791 was a single-shot musket. They're pretty easy to regulate. We still know how to regulate things that are dangerous pretty darn well. We know how to regulate cars. We train and examine and license drivers. We require insurance to be purchased, and we register the cars and keep a database of who owns them. We know who owns every car, we know where they live, and they are mandated to have a product called insurance that gives redress to anyone who is harmed or have their property wrecked by their misuse of the car. Cars are not covered in the Constitution. I wonder why. The framers had no idea what a car looked like and didn't write it in that the right of the people to own cars shall not be infringed. I actually had somebody say that to me one time when I made that analogy. There's nothing about cars in the Constitution. Duh! Yesterday's Florida shooter could not legally buy beer in this country. We regulate that too. interestingly enough, he could have bought beer and whiskey in the colonial period. There was no regulation on that. He bought an AR-15 legally, which is a civilian version of the military M16. That is a combat weapon. The AR-15 was unknown to the authors of the Second Amendment, as was the automobile. Let's just talk about the AR-15 for a minute and its impact on our lives as its ownership and use is not infringed. It isn't. So, good or bad, one way or the other. Let's just talk about the AR-15, not about other guns or other things. In the last 5 years, 60 families of those killed and injured in a theater in Aurora, Colorado know the difference between an AR-15 and a single-shot musket. 27 families of children at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut know the difference. 8, Santa Monica, California. 3, Little Water, New Mexico. 3, Colorado Springs. 4, Conyers, Georgia. 35, San Bernardino, California. 99, Orlando, Florida. 59 dead, 527 injured, Las Vegas. 26, Sutherland Springs, Texas. 32, Parkland, Florida. You getting tired of hearing that? It just gets tedious to listen to that after a while, doesn't it? Let's talk about something else. Shall not be infringed. The gun lobby won't give an inch on this. And they have reasons for that, and you can read about it. This is a debate. This is not an enjoyment on my part. Everything I've said so far are simply a list of undisputed facts. What you do with them is up to you. Yesterday's shooter was mentally ill, clearly. The kid that killed the children at Sandy Hook was mentally ill, and that was as dramatic as anything we know, perhaps short of yesterday. Yesterday's shooter was mentally ill. The president tweeted this morning how important it was to be vigilant about mental illness. Amen. After Sandy Hook, the horrible day when 5-year-olds lay in bloody heaps, the Obama administration recommended that we give an inch, that we just give an inch on mental illness and gun registration and background checks. That we give an inch. The bill was proposed in 2013 to add 75,000 people, that's it, to the background check list. In other words, you can't buy a gun without a background check. These are people who were getting Social Security benefits because they were certifiably mentally ill. They could not function, and so they're getting Social Security benefits because they were mentally ill. It also included those who were adjudicated unfit by their families to handle their own finances. We're talking about 75,000 people that the Obama administration wanted to add to the background checklist. That's a list on which, by the way, people that can't get on airplanes because they're on terrorist watch lists are not on. That bill took 3 years to come into play. In December of 2016, after the election, President Obama signed that tiny little inch of mental health surveillance and guns into law. 2 months later, President Trump rescinded it. Quietly. He didn't do one of these on camera. We live in the world that we helped to create. And the meaning of shall not infringe has benefits. And it has consequences. And in a couple of days, Parkland, Florida will be yesterday's news, and we will continue with our thoughts and prayers. Shall not infringe. Give an inch. The debate goes on. Buckle up. Thank you very much.